Hey, podcast listeners, I want to do something a little bit different today and tell my own story. So far, I have done interviews, but today I want to talk about young entrepreneurial Tanner. So here it goes. When I was about 10 years old, my brother and best friend and I, we spent our days on the local country club golf course. No, we weren't golfing, unfortunately. We couldn't afford it. We were actually trespassing. So what we would do is comb the creek beds and the brush, and we would look for used golf balls that were in good condition. We would comb those, you know, the water and the thorns and everything for hours. And, you know, I have to give us all props because, you know, there were beaver traps in the water and in the brush to deter the, you know, the beavers from building dams there and flooding the golf course. So it was a little bit of a dangerous job, and, you know, it was a lot of walking, and, you know, we get scratched up all the time by the thorns, and the rocks were slippery, so you'd fall down a lot in the creek bed. And, it was hot. It was a summer, you know, it was during the summer. And so I gotta give us props for sticking all that out. If you can imagine three dirty looking kids all scratched up from the thorns, going through the creek bed looking for used golf balls at the local country club, it had to be a pretty hilarious scene. I remember whenever we would come up to a bridge where we could possibly be seen, because through most of the creek, the brush and the trees were so high and thick that we couldn't really be seen by the golfers. So, you know, they couldn't report that we were down there trespassing, right? But whenever we would come up to a bridge that would connect one side of the golf course to the other, we always had to be like really sneaky and quiet so that nobody would see us. I mean, we were seen plenty of times, and, you know, I can't remember very many times that we were actually reported, but, you know, some people would get a little upset about it and call in on us, and, you know, someone would come out on a golf course and kick us out. But so we would go all the way up this creek bed. We would start at one side of the golf course and go all the way up the other side, and we would collect just as many golf balls as we could. What I love about this story is how well we set up. Like, looking back on it now, I don't know if we accidentally came into all of this genius marketing or whatever, but so we would carry the golf balls all the way back to where we had started, but we would do it on the golf course. And we would set up at hole 8 at the tee box for hole 8. Now, a couple of good things happened at hole 8, at the tee box for 8. One, they had a really big tree there, so there was plenty of shade for the summer sun, you know, we could get out of it. Another great thing was that they had a bench there so that we could sit down. And another thing was they had water. They had fresh ice water in the thing, you know, so we were using their little paper cups or whatever and just staying hydrated and having a great time laying under their tree. And last but not least, so I guess two more things, actually, now that I think about it. They had a ball washer there also. So all of those balls that we were collecting out of the water and out of the brush and everything, some of them could be pretty dirty. So to make our product a little bit better, we would shine them up in their ball washer before putting them out on display. And then also, anybody who has ever played golf knows that, you know, by hole 8, you've had plenty of chances to lose your balls, right? And maybe you need some new ones. And this is the last hole right before, you know, you could break at the clubhouse. Because after hole 9 pretty much always leads back to the clubhouse. So you could get lunch or have a drink or, you know, buy some more golf balls or whatever. So we set up at hole 8, which also happens to be a shot that's across the water. So if you hit a bad shot and it went into the water, we won twice because, A, maybe they needed a new golf ball to be able to take another shot, and we didn't mind just going down in the water or brush or wherever and finding it, and so then we could sell that golf ball to someone else later. So hole 8 was a big magical setup for our little business right there. Now, most of the time, people were happy to have us there because, like I said, by that time they had usually lost a lot of balls. And we also undercut the clubhouse by just a hair so that we so that our golf balls were a little bit more attractive looking than the country club. So you know, we had such a great time. We met so many, you know, fun golfers and fun people. You know, we rarely got turned in. We rarely got kicked off. The people were such good sports. And I remember even sometimes people would, you know, challenge us, like, you know, because right next to the tee box, there's, you know, number seven's green was right behind the tee box. So they would say, all right, closest to the pin, you know, if I win, then you have to give me this one for free. And I'll, you know, it's like a buy one, get one deal or something like that, you know? And, you know, so we would always bring our clubs, like a putter or whatever. And we would, you know, if we could see that nobody was out there, nobody was coming, we would putt on the green, use it, and have a great old time. We were always respectful of the area, and we didn't like leave any trash. We didn't make any big divots or anything like that. We were just, you know, three kids out there having a good time and making some money during the summer. But what I really like about this story, and the reason why I wanted to tell this story, is because I really have to admire what we did at such a young age, because I don't think that most people have that same sort of tenacity. A, technically, we were breaking the law. B, we're out there, you know, on the golf course, undercutting the country club's price on golf balls that they probably sold to them, to the golfers in the first place. We were using all of our resources and the fact that we were kids to our advantage, which I think is hilarious. And, you know, I don't think that most people in their adult life would think to do or would have the gall to do most of that. I think a lot of times as kids, we have that entrepreneurial mindset. We don't know what to call it yet. We just know that we want to sell something to make money for whatever it is. It doesn't even matter, right? At that point, it's a new bike or, you know, whatever. And you don't really let the objections get in your way. I was listening to a Jim Rohn podcast recently, and he was talking about how kids are the best salesmen on the planet. He said, if you don't believe me, just watch a kid ask their parent for an ice cream cone, and their parent says no. 5 minutes later, the kid's licking on an ice cream cone. They figure out a way. They're persistent. They give reasons, you know. It's a great thing. And so I hope with this story that more and more parents can recognize entrepreneurs in their kids and cultivate that. You know, it's another option. School isn't the only option anymore in our society. A few decades ago, it was a great option. But more and more, we're seeing that entrepreneurs in America are taking over. And it is such a fun time. And I hope that we recognize those little things in our kids that, you know, maybe they want to be an entrepreneur. And I hope that we cultivate that. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed my little entrepreneurial story. My name is Tanner Mitchell with theintrovertsvoice.com. Please feel free to send me a message. If you have any stories like this where, you know, you had a little business idea when you were a kid, I would love to interview you and talk to you about it. I think that the world needs to hear more and more of these kinds of stories. I love it. Thanks for listening.